Okay, today is...
Oh, I think it's July 14th. Yeah. You're right. That's what I
said. Today is January 14th, the 17th of Tevet. And so we are technically, we're going to finish Perek Tetzayin, chapter 16, but I actually overlooked when I was preparing for Perek Tetvav this fascinating little topic that I came upon while I was preparing for this Perek. And I can't believe I missed it. So it's definitely worth going back and reviewing. And it's still part of what we're learning about David as Avshalom is rebelling, and he's sort of setting the stage to maybe make a comeback with all his various friends he's putting in place. So if you remember, Avshalom is rebelling against his father. They've already forced David out of Yerushalayim. David realizes in being forced out that Achitofel, who is his trusted advisor, has become the advisor to Avshalom. And that's going to play very much in part in the next few classes. And David has this friend, Hushi Ha'arki, who is, he's called his friend. And David, so let's look at the psukim. This is from Perek Tet Vav. So, Vayhi David ba ad harosh asher yischachaveh sham lelokim. So David is coming to the top where he would prostrate himself to God. Vihine likrato chushi ha'arki karua kutanto ve'adama al rosho. So chushi ha'arki, with his shirt torn in earth upon his head, came to greet him. So we read this already, so this should sound familiar, and this is the first time we've heard of chushi ha'arki. Vayomer la David, so David said to him, if you continue on with me, you will be a burden. So we infer from this that Hushi Ha'arki is probably a much older man that can't make the trek out into the Midbar with David and his supporters. So he tells him to not to come. And then he says, V'im ha'ir teshuv v'amart al Avshalom avtecha ani. And if you go back to the city and you tell Avshalom, I'm your servant, Hamelch, so ani avdecha ani hamelch ehiya eved ehiya. I will be your servant, O king. Eved avicha ve I was your father's servant. Ve ani me'az ve'ata ve ani avdecha ve and now I'm your servant. Ve hefarta li et atzat achitofel, and then you will be able to frustrate the advice of Achitofel. And we're going to see as we continue on that that's indeed what's going to happen. That's in the next. So this is Perek Tetvav. We're in the middle of Tetzayin. Yod Zayin is where we see that happen. So that plan does indeed come to fruition. But this pasuk is very strange, describing David's situation, where he says, coming to the top where he could bow down to God. It's very strange, and we didn't notice it before. And then I found this whole treasure trove of sources, and I did my own research and found an additional source. So if you look at page 3, you can see the website where I found it. It's a Daf Yomi website. So we're going to go through. So there's a Gemara, and I think we'll read the English of the Gemara.
Can I just ask what earth upon the head means?
Meaning, so this was a sign of mourning. Like, have you ever been to a wedding where they put the... It's kind of become a trend in more religious circles, I think, where they actually put ashes, sometimes from Yerushalayim, on the groom's forehead under the chuppah, and they sing Im Eshkecha Yerushalayim. So, so this was a sign of mourning, ripped clothes, and so we're not quite that demonstrative today in our mourning, but you see it also in, I'm pretty sure it's described that way, Yirmiyahu, when he's describing people coming, hearing of the destruction of the temple, and they come with dust on their head and torn clothes. Not Ash Wednesday, not to be confused with
right.
Ash Wednesday. But it probably did come from that. And maybe that's why we stopped it, even. I don't know. Sometimes those things happen. So let's read this Gemara in English. So quotes a pasuk. And Rav Yehuda says that Rav says, David sought to engage in idol worship. So what does this mean that he would bow down there on this mountain, that he wanted to engage in idol worship during Avshalom's coup? As it is stated, and it came to pass when David was at the top of the ascent that he would bow to God. And Rosh means nothing other than idol worshiper. As it is stated, as for that image, its head, Reshay, was of fine gold from Daniel, which is a very strange place to get a source from, but they want to make this connection. The rabbis, it is written, behold, Hushai the Archite, Hushai Araki, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Hushai said to David, shall they say a king like you will engage in idol worship? So the rabbis are envisioning this whole conversation between Hushai and David, and it also gives us a glimpse into the wisdom of Hushai and sort of sets up how Hushai will indeed overtake the advice of Achitophel in why he would be respected more than him. We're going to see how powerful Achitophel was. I'm saying the right name. Okay. So he said, shall they say a king like you will engage in idol worship? David said to him, is it preferable that they say with regard to a king like me, known to be righteous, that his son will kill him? Like, these are the least of my worries right now. David continued, referring to himself in third person, it is preferable that he should engage in idol worship, and the name of heaven shall not be desecrated in public, Achil Hashem, through the murder of a righteous king in this manner. So David is sacrificing his own integrity and honor for the sake of Am Yisrael, that in Am Yisrael's mind, they should think that David deserved to die somehow, and that if Avshalom would then become king, that somehow it was a righteous overtaking of his quote-unquote wicked father, as opposed to thinking all this about Avshalom and about the kings of Bnei Israel. Okay. David continued, Hushai said to him, what is the reason that you married a beautiful woman, the mother of Avshalom? So this is the Eshet Yifat Tor that we've spoken about a lot, the captive woman, that it's from Parshat Ki Tetzeh, when you go out to war and you fall in love with a woman and you take her home, and that's indeed what Avshalom's mother was, the mother of Avshalom. David said to him, with regard to a beautiful woman, the merciful one permitted marrying her, because it seems to say in the Torah that you can marry this captive woman. Hushai said to him, but you did not interpret the juxtaposed verses. As juxtaposed to the portion of beautiful woman is the portion beginning, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, the Ben Sora Mora that we saw, and a lot of people interpret those verses that talk about the Eshet Yifat Tor, and then immediately after the Ben Sora Mora, as a prediction of what will happen if indeed you take this heter, this permissibility to marry a captive woman, this is what's going to happen to you. And indeed, it's how we spent a lot of time learning this, both with Amnon and also Avshalom, what will happen to the children, the progeny of this union. So this is Hushai's wisdom that he's telling David, just because something's permitted, you have to continue reading further and see what will happen if you do that. So therefore, even if Avshalom kills you, there will be no desecration of God's name as the people attribute his actions to his mother. So don't worry, David, you don't have to put yourself down in this way. They'll know based on the circumstances of his mother and that you married her. And of course, if you read the Psukim carefully in the right way, this is the outcome of that. Okay, so that's the Gemara. And now we're going to see a few different interpretations of that Gemara. So the first one is the Marasha, who we use a lot. He's an Acharon. I don't remember exactly his dates, but he is the only one in the whole of the Gemara that has the whole commentary on the Agadita of the Gemara. So most of the commentaries on the Gemara are on the halachic aspects, and they overlook the stories. They're on the law as opposed to the lore. And this is his whole commentary is devoted to the Agadita. So these translations are actually very nice. So let's read them for the sake of time. So page 2. The Marasha explains that David HaMelech certainly had no intention to worship Avodah Zarah. Rather, the Gemara in Ketubos teaches that one who goes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is considered as though he serves idols. This is in Rashi, it's also in Ramban, in various commentaries. I think the Ramban might even go so far as to say that whatever mitzvot we're doing outside of the land of Israel is just practice and has no meaning, but we need to maintain them for when we all go back to Israel. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but we can all go to Israel soon, hopefully. Okay, so...
We can go now.
Yes, we can go now. Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, he says, maybe one day they'll invent some kind of vehicle that can take hundreds of people over the ocean in a matter of hours. And then we can all go easily.
What a good idea.
Yeah. And now there's even Amazon in Israel. Okay. So, since going, David HaMelech sought to flee to Chutz La'aretz when his son wanted to kill him. Since going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is tantamount to idol worship, Hushai stopped him by saying, will a king like you worship Avodah Zarah? Meaning, will you really leave the land of Israel? Hushai meant that although David escaped to Chutz La'aretz when he ran away from Shaul years earlier, he did so when he was not yet king and was in a genuine situation of pikuach nefesh. Now, however, that he was king, he was not in the same degree of danger, and thus he was not justified in fleeing to Chutz La'aretz. David HaMelech replied that he thought it was appropriate to go to Chutz La'aretz so that people would not say that it is unfair of Hashem to allow a king like him to be in danger of having his son kill him. Hushai responded that everyone knows that this is what happens when one marries an Eishes Yafas Tor, and no one will say that Hashem is unfair. Okay, so Hushai, according to the pshat of the Gemara, seems to be trying to get David not to sacrifice himself and his own integrity to actually worship Avodah Zarah. But in this interpretation of the Marasha, he's telling David, don't leave the land of Israel. It's tantamount to Avodah Zarah. And nobody will fault you if that your son wants to kill you because, again, of who his mother is. Not that she's a bad woman. It's more the fault lies on David for having taken the Eishes Yafas Tor as a wife. Okay. So that's his interpretation. Now the Torah Moshe, which I did give you a little biography, Rabbi Moshe Sofer, Frankfurt am Main, Germany, 1762 to 1839. He vigorously opposed the Reform Movement and encouraged Jewish settlement in Israel very early on. Okay. So this is in Devarim. I think Parakaf Aleph is the Eshet Yafat Tor. I just want to check that. So, it's Parakaf Aleph. Devarim Kaf Aleph. Pasuk. No, it's not Eshet Yafat Tor. Sorry. It's the Egla Arufa, actually. Oh, no, it is. Vereita Veshivya. Right, because the Parsha of Ki Tetzeh starts in Pasuk Yod. Ki Tetzeh LeMelchama. Okay, so it is. I was right. Okay, good. Ita Gemara Sanhedrin. So it quotes the whole Gemara that we just did, so I'm not going to repeat it. So if you, let's start. Amarle Lama Kachta, okay, so it's Amarle Lama Lodrashas, okay. So it's right in the middle of the Torah Moshe, starting on the four lines down, Ulefi Pshuto. So this is his pshat of this. David Ratza Lihishtachavot Levorazara Vilibo Leshamayim. So similar to how we understood the Gemara, that he wants to bow to idols, but his heart would be directed towards heaven. Rak sheha olam yizbru she'avar avodah zarah. The world should reason that she actually did worship idols. V'lo yachilo Hashem, and it wouldn't be achilo Hashem to tzadik kamotu yehargenu beno, and that this tzadik would be killed by his son. V'amar lechushi, what did Chushi say to them? Shegam zeh chilo Hashem. This is also achilo Hashem. B'ita perakamet avodah zarah, and we have in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet and Mudbet, Lo haya David ra'ui le'otoma asa, ele leharot tshuva al chet shechata bevat sheva. So David was not fitting for this action except to instruct about tshuva on the sin that he sinned with Bathsheba. So, meaning, David's purpose, I think, is to show that even for what could be perceived as one of the gravest sins of the whole incident of Bathsheba, David was still able to do tshuva. So his whole purpose is to teach us the value of tshuva. Okay? And that we can indeed do tshuva and be forgiven. Omnam, im yehargenu beno, but if his son were to kill him, yaraya de'in tshuva mo'ila, it would be proof that tshuva is not effective. It would undermine this whole message of the effectiveness of tshuva. V'lechach bikesh David lihishachvot lavarazara, and that's why David wanted to pray down to idols. She's berush zehu mishum she'avar vadazara, so that the people would think that he was killed because he worshipped idols, not because of the incident of Bathsheba. V'ya'achti lekol panim sfeika im mo'il tshuva. And then it would be, there would be still a doubt whether tshuva was effective. So rather than it being conclusive that tshuva was not effective because David was struck down by his son and David seemed righteous and seemed like he'd been forgiven, this way, if he worships idols, it's an additional egregious act that's worthy of death that he would be killed for. So it's, again, these all these stories are really just stressing David's willingness to sacrifice for the people in terms of his own honor and reputation. You seem very perturbed.
Well, it's such a, it seems such a sinister way of doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't he come up with something a little...
Well, he thinks, he really feels like his life is over. And he feels like his son is going to kill him. So he wants the people to think that he deserved to be killed for other extenuating circumstances.
I don't know. Just somehow it seems that it sets a bad example either way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, for sure, which is why what Hushi is telling him. Yeah. That's exactly what Hushi is telling him, and that's exactly the wisdom of Hushi. Like, this is silly. Don't do this.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So we have two more. So the Yaros Devash, sorry I didn't look up these people, explains similarly that David HaMelech's intention was to appease his son Avshalom by appointing him as a Dayan. Okay, so this, we still have hope even in the midst of this rebellion, and we see David's love for his son even to the very end, that there's hope for some sort of reconciliation, some way that even with Avshalom winning this rebellion, that David can accede the kingship to him and have it still be peaceful. So the Yaros Devash is saying that David wanted to appoint Avshalom as a dayan to appease him. The Gemara states that one who appoints an inappropriate dayan is considered to have planted in a shera tree, a form of avodah zarah. This is the avodah zarah which David HaMelech intended to do. So Hushi is telling him, you cannot appoint this man to be a judge. That would be akin to you worshiping avodah zarah. And everybody knows who his mother is, so don't do it. It's just another interesting way. Okay, and then we have the...
A sheresh tree.
Yeah, so that's... It's described in the Torah. It would be these trees. I think, like, they would do fertility dances around it, like Asherah is a goddess in Canaanite, you know, mythology. And they would plant these trees and worship them, and it's one of the commands in the Torah to uproot all of these trees. Okay, Yad Rama. Again, I don't know why I was so negligent about... Okay, so why I was negligent about these bios, I'm sorry. Okay, so the Yad Rama and the Rif. So we're on page 3. And the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov, do you guys know what that is? Ein Yaakov is, I forgot when it was written, but he basically culls from the Gemara all the Agadata. So in some schools, girls can learn the Ein Yaakov, because it's not halacha, but it is stories from the Gemara. So they maintain that David HaMelech actually planned to bow down to Avodah Zarah. David HaMelech did not intend to worship the idol. Rather, he wanted people to think that he had committed a sin for which he deserved the tribulations that he was suffering as a result of his rebellious son. According to some opinions, the act of Avodah Zarah is a sin only when the person bowing down intends to worship Avodah Zarah. Since David HaMelech had no intention of worshiping the Avodah Zarah, he felt that his act was justified. So that's similar to some of the other ones we read. I just thought it was really interesting, this broad scope of opinions on this very weird pasuk that I hadn't noticed before in the Gemara that I hadn't come across before, and the wisdom of Kushi Ha'arachi that we can see through that. Okay, questions on that little section?
Where do you actually see that he was going to, I mean, I understand that's how they interpreted it, but where in the pasuk do you see that he was going to do Avodah Zarah?
Yishchachava Sham Lelokim. Well, Elohim, I guess they read it. So Lamed Bet that he will bow down there to God with a lowercase. It could, well, that's how we read it, which is why it didn't disturb us. But for whatever reason, they're interpreting it.
Is it to do with the Rosh part? It seems to be connecting it to that.
Yeah. Right. So they took that pasuk in Daniel, which seems a bit of a stretch to say that Rosh means Avodah Zarah. I don't know.
So that's how the the word
Okay, so now we're going to finish Perek Tet Zayin. It's pretty short, and there was not a lot of commentary. Okay, so Vayavo Hamelach v'chol ha'am asher ito ayafim v'yunafesh sham. So the king and all the people who were with him came to there tired, and they rested there. So this is, if you remember what we just encountered, Shimi ben Gera, who is a descendant of Sheol, came out and started cursing David. And this was right after David had accepted the Lashon Hara of Tziva against Mephibosheth, the grandson of Sheol, the son of David, who couldn't walk. And Tziva said, oh, my master stayed in Jerusalem because he thought that the kingship would be returned to him, because everybody would see that Absalom killed David and nobody would want anyone from the house of David anymore, and so they would return it to the house of Shaul, and Mephibosheth is the only survivor from that. So this is what Tziva says to David, and David, for whatever reason, accepts that Lashon Hara. And then we saw a debate whether David was legitimate in accepting that Lashon Hara, or if he actually committed a grievous sin to the point that because he accepted this, his kingship would be split between Yeravam and Rehavam later on. So we explored that. And then Shimi ben Gera comes out and curses them from Machanaim. And then now David and his entire nation that are with him, they're exhausted, and they get to, I think they're in Machanaim now. No, Bachurim. They're in Bachurim. And they rest there. Okay, Tetvav. V'Avshalom b'chol ha'am ish Yisrael ba'u Yerushalayim v'Achitofel ito. So Avshalom, with all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Achitofel was with him. So they've encamped in Jerusalem. Tetzayin v'hi ka'asher ba'chushi ha'arki re'a David el Avshalom. So now it was Chushi, who we reviewed before from chapter 15. He's the friend of David, the re'a David. This was, we saw before that this might have been why Achitofel defected, because he could never be as close to David. He could never be the number one as Chushi was, because Chushi is called a Rea, whereas Achitofel is just called a Yoetz. So that might be part of that rebellion. So Chushi arrives to Avshalom. Vayomer Chushi al Avshalom. Chushi said to Avshalom, Yichi Hamelech, Yichi Hamelech. Long live the king, long live the king. Oh, they actually translated it, long live the king. I just added that. I just saw they had translated that. Okay. Yud Zayin, Vayomer Avshalom Achushi, Ze chastecha et re'acha. This is the chesed that you pay to your friend. He's talking about his father, David. Lama lo halachta et re'acha. Why didn't you go with your friend? Why are you here with me? Yud Chet, Vayomer Achushi al Avshalom. Achushi said to Avshalom, Lo ki asher bachar Hashem. You're the one that Hashem has chosen, v'ha'am hazeh, and also the nation, v'kol ish Yisrael, and all of Israel. If you look, we read it as lo yihya, So to the one that everybody has chosen, Hashem, the nation, every man in Israel, to him, Ehiya, I will be, V'ito Eshev, and with him I will sit. So we read it as to him, but I think this was Rav Bezak, I'm not sure. In the brackets, the way it's written is really Lamed Aleph, no. So you can kind of see Chushi here in his remaining loyal to David as he's saying these words of loyalty to Avshalom, that in his heart he's thinking Lamed Aleph, I will not be with him, whereas in his speech he's saying Lamed Vav, to him I will be. Okay? Yotet v'hashenit, l'mi ani avod halo lifnei beno, kasher avadati lifnei avicha ken ahiya lefanecha. Secondly, who will I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I've served in your father's presence, so will I be before you. Okay, so let's see if there's any commentary on the psukim. There is not. Yes, there is. So let's look at the Malbim. So he has questions on Yodchet and Yodtet. Masha katav lemi ani avod halo lifnei bano. To whom should I serve? Should it be to his son? Mitra'e kimahatalbo. It looks like he's mocking him. I had to look up that word, mehatal. Ki haze chasto et reo sheavod et beno harodef et aviv reo lehargob li chemla. Is this really a chesed to his friend, that he should come and serve his son who's chasing after his father, his friend, to kill him without any kind of compassion? Vilama kafel ka'asher avadati chule. And why is there a double language of, I will serve you? Okay, Vayomer Chushi, Kamo Shesam David Bepiv, Kain Diber Shem, sorry, Kamo Sheshem David Bepiv, Kain Diber al Avshalom. Just like David was in his mouth, so too does he speak to Avshalom. Amar Aleph, Gam im lo yava David Beshum ofin lahamlicho. He says, even if David doesn't want at all to make you king, to make him king, Yitzterech lafer brito et David, then he would need to cut off his covenant commitment to David, who bocher ba'avshalom mitzad gemel devarim. So he chooses Avshalom for three reasons. So he's putting forth to Avshalom that he feels that Avshalom's kingship is inevitable. And so David might amicably agree to see him as his successor. But if he doesn't, he'd have to cut ties because he's going to be loyal to whoever is the king. And there are three reasons. Shabo b'char Hashem, because Hashem chose him. V'chol ha'amazah, and also this whole nation. Hainu ha-Sanhedrin. Malbim interprets that as the Sanhedrin. V'chol ish Yisrael, and all of the plebeians, the normal people. Okay, yod tet, bet. That was the first reason for why what Chushi is saying to Avshalom. The second reason, ki hu mekaveh shegam David yitzratza b'zeh l'sof. So Chushi hopes that David will also want this in the end. Acharei yinutzach v'acharei sheyaskil acharit davar. After Avshalom would be successful, and David would have wisdom at the end of the things, at the end of the matter. V'az yismach gam hu be'avodati she'eni oved l'ish nochri rak l'bano. And then David would actually be happy that I came to serve you, his son, and not some stranger. V'gam ata ta'avini ahava aza mitzad she'hayita avid v'rea avicha. And you will also love me with a strong love from the aspect that I was a servant and a friend to your father. I was loyal to your father, so you can love me, you'll know I'll be loyal to you. And that's why he stresses, just the way I served before your father, so too will I serve before you. Okay, back to the Pesukim, and we're going to...
This was all David's strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I was believing it.
Because he's very convincing. Yeah. And he's also flattering, and we see sort of Avshalom's gaiva, that he's willing to take all this flattery and believe it, when he should be very suspicious. It reminds me of like kids that have no respect for their parents and think their parents are just stupid. So like, he's probably thinking, my father would never come up with such a brilliant plan. He really wants to defect from him and be with me. Okay. Kaf. V'yomer Avshalom el Achitofu. Ahitophel, Havu lachem etza manasa. So now he's asking Ahitophel, Avshalom is asking Ahitophel advice. Pay attention that Havu lachem, come you plural. So this implies that Chushi is also there. We're not going to hear anything from Chushi, which is a lot of the commentaries are going to address that because it's such awful, horrible, violent, terrible, disgusting advice. I mean, it's good advice, but it's such a horrible, awful act that he's going to suggest. And the fact that Chushi remains silent through it all is really disturbing, but it really had to go along with the strategy. Okay, Kaf Aleph. Vayomer Achitofel el Avshalom. So this is what Achitofel says to Avshalom. Bo el pilag she avicha asher hiniach lishmor habayit. You must come to the concubines of your father that he left to guard the house. And I think bo is also a euphemism for sex. So come, you must literally come to the concubines of your father. Vishama kol Yisrael ki nivashta et avicha. And all of Israel will hear that you shamed your father, just abhorred your father. V'chazku yadi kol asher itach. Then the hands of all that are with you will be strengthened. Yadei, sorry. The hands of all that are with you will be strengthened. Sorry, it got cut off a little. I'm resuming the recording. Okay. So Avshalom set up this tent, and he came into all the pilag shem of his father before all of Israel. Kaf gimel ve'atzat Achitofel asher ya'atz beyamim ha'hem ka'asher ish. So this ka'asher yish'al, and then you see the brackets that there's nothing in there. You see that? That means that there's nothing in there. But we read the word ish. B'dvar ha'elokim ken kol atzat Achitofel gam le'David gam le'Avshalom. So the advice of Achitofel that he advised in those days when anybody would ask him of the word of God, thus was all of Achitofel's advice also to David, also to Avshalom. So meaning Achitofel's word was tantamount to the word of God, like it was held in that much esteem. And this is such, like, we have to understand why Avshalom just did this. So,
wait, it was held in that much esteem by Avshalom, but
by everybody.
Everybody,
yeah.
Really?
Achitofel was the advisor. And when you asked him a question, we're going to see that in the Malbim, it was as if you asked, it's going to say in one of the commentaries, it was as if you asked the Urim Batumim. Like, that's how you felt.
So real contrast between the Gemara's interpretation of David trying to be so careful to not harm the reputation of his son, that even if his son were to have murdered him, that he wouldn't want Yisrael to think badly of Avshalom, whereas here, Avshalom's acts are specifically to shame his father.
Yeah, and also Achitofel, who was the advisor of David, the trusted advisor, and that he's willing to throw him under the bus like this. It's really, and yeah, you see the corruption.
But also, when people think badly of somebody who does such a obnoxious...
Yeah, so the commentaries are going to address that a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So, Kaf Aleph in the Malbim. Hasheilot. These are the questions. Lama bachar Achitofel she'aseh ha'poal ha'miguna hazeh? Why did Achitofel choose that he should do this horrible, ugly, disgusting action? Should it be that if it was in order that he should be abhorrent to his father, hello kvar marad, he already rebelled, upersam ki tofes malchut, and he publicized that he grabbed the kingship, and everybody knew that. Didn't everybody know that he wasn't going to give it back? That should be enough to show that his father is abhorrent to him. And why didn't he ask Chushi if he agreed with this advice? Because Elokim, sorry, Kamosha Katava Katuv, Imkein Lam Azav Atzato Acharkach. So if you're going to say he didn't ask Hushi's advice because Achitofel's advice was as if somebody asked God, then why later on, we're going to see in the next parak, does he ask Hushi's advice after Achitofel gives his advice for the next scene, when we get to the next scene? Okay? So Vayomer Achitofel said, Ve'az hitiare Achitofel mileagid etzato she'a tachlita laharog et David. So Achitofel was afraid of saying his advice, whose purpose it would be to kill David, ki are pen yashlim et aviv ve'az yitnakem David mimenu al etzatomim. Okay. So, sorry about that break again. Okay, So Achitofel is afraid that there is still room within this rebellion for David and Avshalom to reconnect and make amends. And if that happens, then who's going to be in trouble? Achitofel, okay? So Achitofel needs to create a situation where it will be irreconcilable. That's why he gives this advice. So his ultimate purpose, Achitofel, is to kill David. And if they reconcile, he doesn't want to say that that's his ultimate purpose. So he's strategizing and going in stages, because he could be avenged afterwards by David if they reconcile. Ki haya rachok beinav sheava Avshalom be'etzazo laharog et aviv. And also Achitofel doesn't know if Avshalom would be willing to kill his father at this point. V'lechein hikdim sheterem yagid et etzato muchrach she'avo Avshalom el pileg she'aviv. So it's necessary that before Achitofel tells Avshalom the advice to kill his father, it needs to be preceded with this advice that Avshalom should come onto all of the pileg shim, the concubines, shebezeh yiftach libo v'lev Yisrael shelo yitratzeh David alav, because this will seal the deal in his heart and in the heart of Israel that David would never want to reconcile with him. Ki hu me'avot lo yuchal litkon. This is a pasuk from Kohelet. It is a crooked thing that can never be fixed. V'yitrof la'ad apo al shechalal yitzvei aviv. And it would create some kind of anger, I think, that that this desecration of the father's son of Avshalom. V'amar hatam ledevarav, and he gave a reason for his words, asher heniach lishmor habayit, that David had left them to guard the house. Shemizeh be'atzmo sheheniach mipelag shav lishmor habayit. So now we're going to, Malvi's giving a reason, like, why did David abandon these Pileg Shim alone in this house when he knew that Avshalom was coming to Jerusalem? Like, what was that about? What kind of abandonment? So he's going to give an explanation. So the fact that he left the concubines to guard the house, nir'eh ki od lev av albano v'lev ben al aviv. This shows somehow that the father and son are still connected to each other in a positive way. Ki im haya David machshivo ke'oyev umitnakem. Because if David had considered Avshalom as an enemy and somebody he would try to seek revenge from, lo haya maniach pilag shav sham pen yehargam o yafkiram lina etz et aviv. He wouldn't have left his concubines there lest they be killed or hefker, left out to free for his father. B'chein lama lo lishmor, beito. Why would he have it to guard his house? Halo yada she'Avshalom yikach beito v'kinyanav. He knew that if Avshalom was successful, he would take his house and all of his possessions. V'tov yikacham asher achar mashmishi yaplu biyad oivav. And it would be better that Avshalom should take them rather than they should fall in the hands of a real enemy. V'al kein ki rotzeh b'zeh she'beno yinchal et asher lo. And this shows that David wanted his son to inherit everything that was his. V'yishmerehu ad yavo v'yikcha, and he would guard them until he would come and take them. V'lechach sarich shetitra'eh ata ke'ayev. And therefore, Achitofel's advice was for Avshalom to make himself the enemy. ubeze yishmu ki nivashta et avicha. And from this they will hear that your father has become important to you. Okay, so David left the Pilakshim, according to the Smalbim, as a way to create a situation of reconciliation, if they were allowed, if that would happen. But Achitofel is creating it, using them as pawns to create a situation of irreconciliation. Okay? It's not entirely clear, but you kind of get it. I mean, okay. So now, this whole act is actually a fulfillment of the original prophecy from Natan for David's sin. So if you remember the Psukim, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Hinani makim alecha ra'a mi betacha, I am establishing evil from your house, vilakachti at nashecha le'enecha, and I will take your wives from before your eyes, v'natati l'reyecha, and I will give them to your friend, v'shachav yim nishecha, and he will sleep with your wives, le'enei hashemesh hazot, before this sun. Ki ata asita beseter, you did what you did in hiding with Bathsheba, and I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun. Okay, so the Ralbag tells us that everything that's going on in our parak is a fulfillment of this prophecy from Parak Yud Bet. Avshalom came into all the concubines of his fathers before the eyes of all of Israel. This is, here it's established what Hashem testified to David when he said to him, and all the psukim, we don't have to read them over again. So third line after the comma, v'hine ya'atzlo ze Achitofel, and Achitofel gave him this advice, l'chashvo ki ulai chashvu Yisrael shetia zot tachbula livchon im lev Yisrael yashar et David. So Achitofel gave him this advice to think that maybe Israel would consider that this was just a way of discerning if the heart of Israel was with David. Ulezeh yira'u milimrod b'David, ach kishira'u ha'poel ha'miguna me'avshalom keneged aviv. So, and from this it will be seen from those who are rebelling against David, when they would see this horrible, disgusting action of Avshalom against his father, as yitba'er lahem ki nivash et David, then it would become clear to him that David was abhorrent. V'she'en ze ha'inyan atzad ha'tachbula livchon levavam, v'lefisha pilagshim belo k'tuva ubelo kidushin dinan kedin mifutata av shehi muteret leben. Okay, so I didn't understand it exactly, I apologize. But somehow Achitofel is justifying this disgusting action because it's actually technically permitted, since these are just the concubines of his father without a ketubah, not the wives, and so therefore somehow it's permitted.
It's property.
Yeah, what he's doing, and therefore the rebellion would be complete and they'd have to go to him. Okay. One more Malbim. Ve'etzat meva'er she'Avshalom haya muchrach la'asot kedvarav. It seems like Avshalom must do what he says. Velochika atalishmoa mayomar Chushi, and he doesn't wait to hear what Chushi said. Kamo be'etzah hasheni, like he will in the second bit of advice that we're going to see later. Achar she'Achitofel sagar hadal lefanav, because Achitofel closed the door before him. Velorata ledeber et etzato ad yavo el pilakshe aviv, and he didn't want to give his advice until after he would go into his concubine, the father's concubines, v'ha nishar bili etza, ki etza tachitofel haita gedola b'yamim hem, ki hachlatata orim v'tumim. So I think he's claiming maybe that Chushi wasn't there, that this was in a closed room. And then once this had been done, then he can listen to both of their advices, as we're going to see in the next chapter. Okay, one more radak. Kasher yishal ish b'dvar elokim, like a man asks for the word of God. Ish kri v'lo k'tiv. So remember I pointed out, it's ish isn't in the actual written word, it's something that we read. V'ha k'tiv ratzon lomar al David, ken haita atzato nechona, umitamenet le David kamo im haya David shoel b'davar Elokim. So whatever Achitophel would advise David, it was as if he asked God. Ki Achitophel yoetz haya le David kamo shomer b'divar hayamim, because we learn in Divrei Hayamim that Achitophel was the advisor of David. Bekari ish, and we read the word ish klamar lechol adam hamite etzba. This would imply that anybody who would seek advice from Achitophel. Umasha amar la David, ki lo haya lo yoetz tamid. Umasha amar gam la David, gam la Avshalom ha'achad l'rabot al chavero, kmo gam tsonchem gam bekirchem. So he wasn't only David's advisor, he was also Avshalom's advisor, and he uses this pasuk of also your sheep and also your cattle to imply that it was inclusive of other people too. Ki ata shav liot yoetz Avshalom kmo sheya yoetz David. And now he returns to be the advisor of Avshalom, just like he was the advisor of David. Midrash, but we learn in Midrash, ish kri v'loktiv. Why is ish read and not written? Lo haya ish ela malach. It wasn't a man, rather it was an angel. And I have no idea what that means. I apologize. Gam la'avshalom, v'alfa pi sheze hayta etzeto, tchila la'avshalom, davar ha'pilakshim, etza nechona hayta. So even though, so the Radak is saying this was actually the right advice, as disgusting as it was. V'alfa pi sheita l'ra'a, ki b'davar ha'hu chazku yedei kol asher ito, v'yedu ki lo yasa od aviv shalom imo. Vigam, so because this really completely broke the relationship between David and Avshalom. Vigam ayitza hazot ha'acheret hayta nechona v'ilu naste haya na'areg David k'dvarav ela shakadosh baruch hu tziva la'afer atzeta. So he's going to, the next advice he's going to give is to actually kill David, and this really would have led to all those steps to Avshalom eventually becoming king, but Hashem intervenes through Chushi and it's not going to happen. But that is, so that is the wisdom of Chushi so far. It's Achitophel's advice, and we're really in the thick of it, and we're going to start the next parak where both, where Avshalom is going to ask the advice of both Achitophel and Chushi, and we're going to see how Chushi is able to manipulate for the sake of David. Okay, thank you.